final hour of the big program on a Thursday. Lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Time to talk some Blazers. And who better than the one who's at the heart of the terrific coverage we get from the guys behind the mic, Kevin Calabro, Lamar Hurd. She's the one on the move getting us updates, pregame, postgame, digital feature stories. Nobody's more wired in. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Brooke Olsendam. Welcome, Brooke. So nice to finally get a chance to speak with you. How are things?
Oh, well, thank you for having me. Things are great, and I have to tell you, I really appreciate you not pulling me out on this and telling everyone how time zone challenged I was today trying to figure this out. you'd think after all the travel I do, literally to every time zone, numerous times a month, I would get it figured out, but my friends and family just think it's hilarious. It's my one thing, I mean, not my one thing, but it's the thing I struggle with the most that I should probably have a handle on by this point. But it's just a thing now, and it's just never going to happen. So thanks for being so patient with me.
Well, I will confess that I actually Googled Oklahoma City time zone. So we're on the same page there. I must start, Brooke, with one general thought. I know you're a graduate of the Murrow School of Communication at Washington State. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of experience, but beyond the polish, the knowledge, and all that goes with what you do, my question is it possible for another person to enjoy their job more than you do?
You know what? I think it's fair to say it's close. I mean, I think it's hard to imagine doing anything else because it has now become by far my favorite job. I've always enjoyed working in sports. I mean, that's what working in sports should be. It should be fun. But with this position, it's been, I can't even tell you. With the team itself, you know, it all starts with Dame. He set such a great example. He's so respectful and thoughtful with the media, and that includes me, that the rest of the team, and they would anyways, I believe, but they really follow suit. So that helps with just creating a comfortable atmosphere for everybody. And so that's key. That's first and foremost. And then you have the rest of our staff, our broadcast group, PR. Like you were talking with Colin Romer. He and JT do a fantastic job. We all just really work well together. So that creates an atmosphere in which you go out there and you feel free and comfortable to have fun because you're working in such a great atmosphere. So, yes, to answer your question, I have a ton of fun. It's a great job. It's covering a great team. There's a lot of fun little aspects to it that do include the travel, even though I never know what time it is wherever I'm at. We talked about that. But, yes, I have a ton of fun, and I'm very grateful for it. I mean, sports are supposed to be that way. And I always tell people that are coming up and want to get into sports broadcasting, the first thing that you should do in terms of a broadcast is always be prepared because then you are free to just enjoy it, and you're not worried about, I'm not up to speed on this, or I should have read more about this. You go into it completely up to speed on what you're doing, what you're covering, who you're covering, then you can relax a little bit and you feel good about that and you can have fun. So, yes, I have a ton of fun and I'm glad it shows.
You know, to kind of piggyback on what you said, prior to the Blazers, you worked for the Pacers, and, you know, you've obviously dealt with the superstars, and, you know, to tell a secret, I've been following this game for almost 50 years. I'm from New York, but when I see and hear Damian Lillard, my first thought is he gets it, the value of the fans, the media, his teammate, his coaches, and as a journalist who has had firsthand experience, how unique is that, you know, how he handles being the face of a franchise?
It is truly unique. I've covered, like you said, I mean, not as long as 50 years, which I'm impressed with, by the way. That's very cool. But for a long time, and I've worked with, you know, different superstars, and there is nobody like Damian Lillard. I can say that, and I really believe it. He is a guy that, as you mentioned, gets it with the fans. He appreciates them. He's been a guy that has been turned down, you know, told, you know, you're not going to make it. You know, you're not going to get out of Oakland. You're not going to play at the collegiate level. You're definitely not going to be recruited. And then, you know, when he was there, you know, in Ogden, they said, well, I don't know. You're probably not going to make it in the league. So this guy has had every opportunity to say, this just isn't for me. This is going to be too difficult. And he has been, because of that, loyal to the people who have put their neck out for him. And that would be the Blazers. And that would be Rip City fan base. And so he gets it. He's loyal to them. And he will continue to be. He's said it numerous times. I know you've heard him say that he wants to, you know, continue his career throughout in Portland, which is something I completely believe. So he is, yes, very accessible. He's the first person to sign an autograph, and he's the person that will sign every single one. He will be there when we arrive at hotels. People are out there at 2 a.m. He'll sign everything. At every game, he walks by, signs everything. And you just don't see that, A. And then in terms of dealing with the media, you know, he's won the award in the NBA for being the best player to, you know, deal with the media. And he is someone, I joke about this, like when it's a pregame show and we're talking about who I'm going to interview for the open or for the first quarter hit, Dame of all our players is just the most accessible. He's the easiest. You just walk up and say, Dame, can I grab it? Of course. I don't think you get that very often in the NBA on different teams where the face of the franchise is probably the easiest guy to get a soundbite from. That is so rare. So everything you've heard that's positive about him is true, and there's even more that you guys don't even know that makes him just truly a leader and just a wonderful human being.
Love it. Talking Blazers with Brooke Olsendam. You do a lot, be it pass the ball, say what, read my lips. You travel with the team. So beyond providing analysis, you've developed relationships. And beyond what it meant basketball-wise, that injury to Yusuf Nurkic against the Nets, I mean, personally, and the people you know who what he came to mean, I mean, how just gut-wrenching was that?
I can't even. I mean, it was really, I mean, I've tried to explain this. I'll never forget that night. It was the most difficult night I've had working, covering a game. I mean, I can't even think of number two compared to that. It was something where you just felt the entire arena gasp, and then you kind of you put your arm around the person next to you. I was a mess. I'm not afraid to say it or embarrassed to say it, because this guy, not only do I enjoy being around and covering, but he was having a fantastic season. He and Dame have created such a relationship on and off the floor that's been such a beautiful thing to watch for me, and I know the fans feel the same way. It was, you don't wish that upon anyone else, but it was just one of those things like, not Nurk, not right now. No, like I had to gather myself, and I've appreciated a lot of people have said you and Kevin Lamar, you know, did a pretty good job of keeping, you know, the energy up and, you know, finishing your job. That was really difficult. I was talking to my producer in my ear, and I said, Danny, do I have to do this post-game interview? He's like, you know you do. I'm like, you're right, I do. So, you know, got through it with Seth, but, I mean, our hearts were broken that night, and it was difficult to finish out the game. I know the players, you know, that was difficult for them. You just kind of had to compartmentalize it and deal with it later. But I've been impressed with the way the guys have just rallied around the situation and said, we wish Nurk was here, but what can we do, you know, except go out there and give it our all, not just for him, but for this team as a whole. I mean, it's a 53-win team. They built something. Nurk went down. It was devastating. There was sorrow. It was terrible. And then, you know, CJ, the injury to CJ and all that. But they kind of had to say, let's rally together, and they continue to win games. And now they freaking won the third seed. I mean, no, we didn't see that coming the day before, you know? So it's just been a special kind of time for this team where they said, we still have talent. We still have the same goals we had before the injuries, and let's just put our head down. And I've never seen a team so focused or dialed in for the playoffs as this team this year.
You know, we've had a few occasions to talk with Terry Stotts here. And if you ever want to have fun with him, ask him about holding Larry Bird to just 29 points and 15 rebounds while he was at Oklahoma in the 79 NCAA tournament. Seriously.
I will. I was outside walking down the street, and he was on his earphones. I was on mine. We give the whole, you know, fist bump and just walk by each other. I didn't get the chance then, but now I have some fodder for our pregame interview tomorrow.
So, and we know Portland's a little different. You don't get the high-level free agents. You rarely pick high in the lottery. So while we're fans of his, you travel the league. You talk with colleagues and other coaches. How would you describe his reputation as a head coach?
Hello?
All right, Brooke, you there?
I'm here. I swear. I didn't hang up on you. I'm ready to go. I don't know what happened. I apologize.
For a minute, I thought, well, she obviously doesn't like Larry Bird, and I should never have brought that up.
How dare you? You know what's funny about you bringing him up is that people ask me, like, you know, do you ever get nervous? Do you ever, you know, for an interview, or do you ever get, you know, a little anxious? And I've been doing it for so long that I really don't anymore. But the one I remember feeling petrified, not getting any sleep, and just absolutely, not terrified, but like, you've got to nail this, was the one interview I got to do with Larry Bird when I was in Indiana, because he doesn't do media very often, if at all. And so I was granted this one sit-down in the practice gym, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, just the two stools, just me and Larry. And I was petrified. Thank goodness it went well. We got through it. But I'll never forget, like, whenever people ask me that, I'm like, I was nervous to interview the great Larry Bird. But we got through it.
Well, as a lifelong Knicks fan, Larry Bird, his thoughts gives me a nervous twitch. So I was talking about Coach Stotts and, you know, as you travel the league, while I mentioned that, you know, it's difficult to attract high-level free agents. They rarely pick high in the lottery. So as you talk to people around the NBA, how would you describe his reputation as a head coach?
Oh, people love Terry. He's great. He's very knowledgeable, obviously, of the game. But he's just a great person. He's funny because, I mean, I've been really lucky that I get to work with him because I interview him every single game, 2 hours prior to tip. We have a couple minutes that we do that for the pregame show. So I've gotten to know him pretty well. We know we spend a little time together every day. So he has been really good to me, and that's something I really appreciate. Thoughtful answers and just a good person in general. And he's just a really great players coach, too. He's got different relationships with every guy, you know, that he kind of feels them out, and then he knows, like, if he needs to talk to them more or less. And he's just a really good players coach and just very, like I said, knowledgeable. And his coaching staff is the same way. Great guys that love the game, respect the game, but also don't take themselves too seriously, which is kind of the culture of this group as well.
Right.
So that kind of lends itself to what we were talking about earlier, where we have a lot of fun at work also. But he's very respected. And every time we go somewhere, you know, the opposing coach comes up or they meet at half court, they chat it up. Like, it was funny. I put this on my Instagram, I think it was 2 weeks ago, his childhood best friend came to do an art show. He's from Hawaii, but they grew up together in Guam. They've been friends for their whole life. And he came to do an art show in Portland, and I went and did a feature on it. And it was like 8 o'clock at night. It was raining outside, and we were shooting in this little gallery. And then all of a sudden, I looked to the front door, and in walks this like familiar face. I was like, wait, what? And it was Nuggets coach Mike Malone, who was just walking down the street and looked in and saw Terry in there. And so he just was like, oh, there's Coach. It was the night before we played them. So he came in, and they hung out at the art gallery for a little while. And that's just an example of just, you saw Coach. He's like, oh, I got to go say hi. It was kind of a fun moment. But coaches all around the league respect him. Players do. He's just a great person and coach.
A few final thoughts for Brooke Olsendam. The trade deadline move, getting Rodney Hood from Cleveland, in essence, for Stauskas, and, you know, a former first-round pick, a 6'8 lefty shooting guard, kind of a unique player. From your chair, Brooke, how would you describe the kind of impact he's had, both ends of the floor, kind of fitting into this lineup?
It's been fantastic. And, you know, I just talked to Rodney today at practice, and I've talked to him a few times before about just the whole fitting in factor and, you know, how long, you know, it takes a little while to get used to your teammates' plays, schemes, all of that, which that will come, but just you have to get a sense of support from your new team, which is like the number one helpful thing in my opinion. And Rodney has talked to me about that too. He said, these guys have just welcomed me with open arms, and they're patient with me while I'm learning things, but you can tell they trusted me already. You know, there was a span there where Rodney himself said he wasn't shooting very well. And you had the rest of the team saying, don't stop shooting, Rodney. We know you're a shooter, you're a scorer, don't stop. And he listened to them, and he had a fantastic game, had a career high, or a season high, and he's been very consistent ever since that big kind of breakout game for him. So he's also said he would like to stay here. You know, there's logistics and,
sure,
you know, things that can happen, and, you know, we don't know who's going to want him as well, but he has come out and said that he really loves Portland and he really loves his team. And I think that's about the nicest thing you can say in this short amount of time with your new team, is that you feel that comfortable that you're open about saying you'd like to stay and you like the culture and you like being a part of this group. And they've really embraced him. I really like Rodney. He's kind of quieter, kind of a gentle soul, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like an old soul, has three little kids. It's his twins' birthday today. They just turned one, so we talked about that. And he's still sane, so that's a good thing.
I want to get to Enes Kanter, and again, as a Knicks fan, I'm familiar with him. So they waived him. Portland signed him. It wasn't what you would call stop the presses news, but now when you think about the Nurk injury, the big offensive rebounds in game one, that crazy lefty bank, I mean, could we have expected much more of a contribution than he's given his 2 months with the Blazers?
He's been fantastic, and it is interesting to, you know, everything's in hindsight, right? It's 2020, but
right.
Yes, now you look at it and you think, thank goodness, and this is part of this team. He has stepped in, and you know, I don't even like to say try to fill the shoes of Nurk. They're very different players, so it's not fair to say that.
Right.
But it's just come in and be the best Enes Kanter you can be is pretty much what was asked of him. And he has been fantastic. Like you mentioned, that little lefty, which was funny. He told me the other night, he's like, I didn't know I had a left hand. I didn't even know that happened. I looked at my hand like, what just happened? But he is so consistent on those offensive boards. And he's talked about it, too. He's like, I want the guards and everyone, the other four people on the floor, to feel like they can shoot with confidence, knowing that I'm going to do my best to get them another possession, an extra possession, and maybe even a third. And so that's kind of his just go-to-work kind of mentality. And we've seen it, like you said, especially in Game 1. So it's been fun to watch. He's a great person also. I think his story has been interesting. Like, when he was considering coming to Portland, Neil Olshey and him had a great conversation. He really felt wanted. And then, of course, they offered him. Then it got matched, and so he remembers being wanted by Portland. And isn't that funny? Because years later, he still remembered that and said, that's why I want to go to Portland over LA. And I'm pretty sure he's glad about that now. And it's been nice to have him and just putting him in that role. He's done everything that has been asked of him and more. And he's another one like Rodney, where it just feels like he's at home, which is about the nicest compliment you can give to a city and a team in such a short amount of time.
And lastly, we know last year round one was a disaster. So entering mm-hmm. this postseason, that losing streak, and then just winning game one to get the monkey off their backs. I mean, could we talk about just how that kind of almost allowed them to hit delete and kind of solely focus on the task at hand and play in OKC?
Yeah, that first game was huge. They've, of course, been asked about it till they're blue in the face, and I know this because I've been in every scrum and every practice hearing them being asked it. Every time, like when we go on the road and other, before the playoffs, and then when Oklahoma City media was in Portland, and they're asking too. And again, the first time they've asked them, but I've heard these guys answer this question 50 times. And it wasn't necessarily like they wanted to just get that win to say, okay, see, we can, the streak is broken, we can win a playoff game. It's not even just the sense of relief that was. It's just that they want to not just win a couple of playoff games. They want to get to the second round. They want to get to the finals. They have goals, and they're super dialed in and locked in that, yes, they got that first one, that was great, but really they're already thinking about winning game two. That's the conversation I had with Dame. He's like, that is in the rearview mirror. Don't think I didn't think enough about those four games and those 10 games as a whole, but don't think about it. I didn't think about last year's postseason all summer long. Don't worry, I have thought about it. I have probably overthought about it. But as these playoffs approach, my mind isn't thinking, oh, I've got it. We got to make up for last postseason. It's about this is a new postseason. We learned from it. We're a different team. Same group of guys, added some, but we don't have that same. We have a different mentality. It's go out there and not just show that we can win a playoff game. We want to win this series. And so it's nice that first one was got that out of the way, though. So at least I didn't have to hear those questions anymore.
Yep. Game 3 tomorrow night. She'll be working the sidelines, providing us the info and the joy she brings to each broadcast. She is Brooke Olsendam. Follow her on Twitter using the handle of the same name. Brooke, it was really a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much for your time. You travel safely, and look forward to chatting again down the road.
Anytime. It was so nice to finally get in touch with you. Long time coming, so let's make this a thing.
Okay, you got it. Enjoy. And thanks again. We really appreciate your time, Brooke.